The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon is off, but he says he watched yesterday's show and he has issues with you, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Wilbon? No, doesn't ring a bell. Not for me.
Bald guy, loves Chicago, yeah. But is in Arizona for some reason all the time, despite his love for Chicago. That guy?
No. What are his issues? I'll bet they're about Chris Paul. You know, look, Chris Paul just signed a $120 million contract. He doesn't have any issues, and nobody should have any issues for him. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon doesn't have time to host today, but he apparently has time to watch. So here to do his work is our great friend from the ESPN Daily Podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. A little weaker than yesterday, and we begin today with an outlier in the NFL in terms of vaccinations. The Minnesota Vikings have the lowest vaccination rate in the league at 64.5%. Most teams are at 85% or higher. The Vikings have now lost quarterback Kellen Mond to COVID and have also lost quarterbacks Kirk Cousins and Nate Stanley because of close contact. According to NFL protocols, that means Cousins and Stanley had not been vaccinated. They're all out 5 to 10 days. Pablo, where does vaccine hesitancy leave the Vikings?
It leaves the Vikings feeling, Tony, like their most indispensable, irreplaceable players are also being wildly irresponsible. And I say that not just because of the whole public health crisis thing. I say that because it feels like they actually don't love football as much as they'd like us to believe that they do. And the fact that Mike Zimmer, the very old school coach of the Vikings, is as publicly exasperated about this as anybody tells you this is not about politics, this is not about public health, this is about needing guys to play in football games, and the vaccine, for reasons of policy and reasons of medical reality, is the best way to ensure that, and you don't have a quarterback that is ready under those circumstances.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts them right now because this is training camp and they're going to get over this. I think it would hurt if it was later in the season. We saw this last year with Denver where they lost all their quarterbacks and they had to start some guy who hadn't been a quarterback in 4 or 5 years
yes,
and they
Kendall
lost the
Henry.
Game convincingly. I find it really odd. I would say amazing, but I'll just say really odd that all three quarterbacks had not been vaccinated. I remember that last year Kirk Cousins famously said, if I die, I die. And now he walked that back, but he didn't walk it back enough to go get a vaccine. I think you're headed in this direction, and I'm going to say this. People say of football all the time that it is the ultimate team game, that it's all for one and one for all. Well, it's not if a healthy, or I shouldn't even say the word healthy, if a large percentage of your team does not get vaccinated. If the overwhelming majority does and it's all for one, then the people who don't should be getting vaccinated. I think the NFL, Pablo, has tried very hard to influence the players to get vaccinated. And what you could see on a team with this lower percentage of vaccinations is that another position group could go out the same way during the season.
Absolutely. And it's telling, by the way, that, like, big picture, 90% plus of NFL players in the general population of the league, they've gotten at least one shot. So these are the outliers, but I do think it's fair to point out the NFL very brilliantly has decided to say, look, all these football cliches, the best ability is availability. That is something that can hold these players to account because what they are doing right now, to be very blunt about this, they're being bad teammates, Tony. If you can't play in the games, how good a teammate are you?
No, I agree with that. And the NFL is not going to fool around this year and try to reschedule. They're going to forfeit.
No,
and when there's a forfeit,
money on the table.
The people who have been vaccinated will also lose money. So that is the appeal to the team ethos here. And that's why the Washington football team within a week went from under 60% of vaccinations to 84%. So what the Minnesota Vikings are facing right now, they want to correct that. They want to correct that.
They have to. And there is also, all that money that's at stake as well, which the league cares a lot about. But elsewhere, Tony, Philip Rivers is retired from the NFL, but that is just for now, because the 39-year-old tells the LA Times that he is staying in shape in case a team calls him for a late-season stint, and he said this, quote, "I'm not predicting I will play in December or January. One, you've got to have somebody who wants you, and two, it's got to be right, but I have not completely ruled that out," end quote. So, Tony, when Philip Rivers is saying stuff like that, what do you hear?
What am I hearing? I'm hearing that Philip Rivers is going to play for the Colts if they ask him. I'm hearing that Philip Rivers, if he gets a call from Frank Reich, will put on a helmet. And I'm hearing something else. I'm hearing people all around the country say the following sentence. Tony, didn't you say this to Wilbon on Monday, that the Colts ought to call Philip Rivers? And indeed I did. And Philip Rivers makes more sense than anybody, including Nick Foles, for this reason. He quarterbacked this team last year. He started all 16 games, and they went 11-5, and they made the playoffs. So he's the number one choice to me.
He is. And by the way, the NFL is ridiculously bad at finding and developing enough quarterbacks to go around. Like, the fact that Philip Rivers is in demand, despite the fact that he's coaching in high school, would be shocking to me if there wasn't someone like Josh McCown a couple years ago who was also coaching high school and got summoned to the Eagles to join their roster, because finding quarterbacks who know offenses, you can just plug them right in, is really, really hard, Tony. So the fact that Phil Rivers is contemplating this on top of the 9 kids he has that he's spending all of his time with now, I imagine for many reasons, this is quite likely, actually.
So I'd like to ask a question here. Who exactly is running the Indianapolis Colts who would put that team in a position where you have Carson Wentz as your number one guy and you don't have any backup you can trust? You have one rookie, you have two guys who've never taken a snap, and you have Hundley who's taken snaps and nobody wants him to take a snap. Because it's not like Carson Wentz has sailed through physically well every single season that he's played. Pablo, he has spent more time with doctors than you, and both your parents are doctors. So I don't understand how this works.
That's right. No. Look, the GM of the Colts, Chris Ballard, like, there's part of me that thought when I first heard this, maybe actually this is part of a brilliant ploy by him, because, you know, if Carson Wentz plays enough games and plays well enough, they got to give up a first rounder instead of a second rounder because of that trade. But guess what? They're not going to do that now. And there is, unfortunately, no way for me to spin that more convincingly, because you're right. They got no other options available. Brett Hundley would be the guy.
Let me go one step further. The other thing that I wonder about is the prognosis, where they say it's between 5 and 12 weeks. That's an enormous spread. That's between 1 month and 3 months. That's modern science ought to be better than that. Because let me ask you this. I assume that this bone he broke is one of the original 206 bones, not some other bones that they don't have tape on, that they don't know how would we solve this. And we move on. Remember Kemba Walker? The Celtics could not wait to get rid of him. They traded him to Oklahoma City for Al Horford. Now Oklahoma City doesn't want anything to do with Walker. They are paying off some portion of 2 years and $74 million to never see Walker again. And Walker will reportedly take their money and sign with the Knicks. Pablo, you grew up a Knicks fan. Does this excite you?
It did, and then it didn't. It excited me because, of course, Kemba Walker is from Soundview. He's from the Bronx. Tony played at Rice in Harlem. He's a New York City kid. I get all that. I felt it. But then I remembered the last time I was really, really excited for a New York City point guard, a guy that I wanted on the Knicks purely by virtue of that biographical fact. And that was, say with me, Stephon Marbury. So for me, there is some PTSD with the idea that finally a homecoming with a guy I want because of the geography of all of it. And then I remember, right, it's the Knicks, and these things don't tend to go very well.
Can I just go to Oklahoma City for a second? Because Oklahoma City, they did not make the playoffs last year. I want to get these numbers right. They were 22-50, which, in a word, stinks, okay? Kemba Walker may not have been what Boston wanted, but Kemba Walker last year, when he played, averaged 19 points a game and 5 assists a game. And he did that in the NBA. He didn't do that in France, okay? He did that in the NBA. Oklahoma City, they're paying him a bunch to go away. They're playing kids. Let me get some names right. Lou Dort, Theo Maledon, Darius Baisley. That's their future. That and 3,000 number one draft picks. You know, to me, Oklahoma City smells like a team that's 2 years away from being 3 years away. They're a long way away. So what do they? They can't use Kemba Walker, really? Really?
Well, Tony, you're right that there are currently 8-year-olds wandering the planet that may have been drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder already. That's
right.
Where we are with all of these timelines. But the thing with Kemba Walker and why they can't really use him, I think it's because they watched Kemba Walker up close last year and they realized this was one of the worst seasons of this guy's professional career. The lowest assist rate, the fewest games played, 42 or 43, because he's injury prone. I think he is an upgrade for the Knicks in the collective sense. I think this Knicks team, Tony, is better than it will be or was last year. But look, Kemba Walker is not going to make Julius Randle any better as far as I can tell. And that, to me, is the tentpole question of that entire franchise.
I'm going to go back to what you were saying before about a New York City point guard. And Rice High School, which produced Felipe Lopez and Dean Memminger and Charlie Yelverton. You know, I remember Kemba Walker in that building, in the Garden, when he played for UConn, when he played the Big East tournament.
Legend.
And he was terrific. And I will say this, Tom Thibodeau, if you're willing to play, he'll play you. He'll play you 100 minutes in a 48-minute game.
If you have knees, he will play you. Yes.
He'll do that. Let's take a break. Coming up, will Carmelo win a ring before Chris Paul?
And will Team USA beat Team Australia when those two teams meet after midnight?
I assume when they write this book together, they talk about will Chris Paul win a ring before Carmelo Anthony. I assume that's at least two chapters. I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so, too. Also, shout out to my parents. I apologize for disappointing you more than the Carson Wentz thing has disappointed the Colts. I think that's also fair to say.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then remains in his chair in his attic, staring into the abyss and immediately regretting his decision to take the next 2 days off. No. What's first?
Toss-up. More likely to win his first ring, Chris Paul or Carmelo Anthony?
Well, Wilbon would immediately say Chris Paul, and I got to be fair. Only an idiot wouldn't say Chris Paul. Chris Paul made Phoenix a really good team. Chris Paul had Phoenix up 2-0 in the NBA Finals this year, and on the way, I believe they eliminated the Lakers. The Lakers are ridiculously old at this point. They all get AARP discounts at this point. And they play no defense at all. That it's going to look like the 101 as other teams go to the basket on the Lakers. And did I mention they were old and they wear New Balance sneakers like I do? So, of course, I will take Carmelo Anthony for this question, because Carmelo Anthony won a college championship. He won Olympic championships. He needs this ring to hit for the cycle.
I have never heard someone more circuitously call themselves an idiot than you just did just then. I am impressed on several levels, but here's why I disagree with you beyond the obvious. I disagree with you, Tony, because the question did not specify time frame, right? Carmelo Anthony might win a title this year, more likely to do that than Chris Paul, because the Lakers, I think, will be in the NBA Finals more likely than the Suns. But the reality is Carmelo signed how long a deal? A 1-year deal. Because Carmelo and LeBron both know that 1 year might be all that guy has. Chris Paul has a 4-year deal, $120 million. I could win this game when one of the Thunder eighth graders gets drafted, Tony, that's how long I can wait before I win this one.
Next.
Toss up, who you got in tonight's men's basketball semifinal? Team USA or Team Australia?
So I was always going to say the United States, because I actually believe that Kevin Durant is going to impose his will on this game and they're going to win this game. But a conversation I had today with Brian Windhorst on my podcast made that point even stronger to me. He pointed out that when Australia played against the United States in that exhibition game last month in Las Vegas, they went inside all the time because the United States doesn't have any real traditional big men that are any good.
Yeah.
And they scored, I believe, 22 baskets inside. And part of that combination was Aaron Baines in the middle. Big, strong Aaron Baines, played a lot of years in Boston. They need Aaron Baines to do that again. But, and there's always a but, against Italy, Baines left the bench in the middle of the game to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, he slips on the tile floor, he smashes his head, he's out. He's out for this game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me, that's the clincher why I'll say the United States.
Tony, this is really hard for me to hear, not just because I'm going to pick Australia anyway, but because Brian Windhorst told me that story on my podcast earlier this week. And I don't know who is cheating on who here in this podcast, Aaron Baines love triangle with Brian Windhorst. But let's point this out. Australia has not lost in the Olympics. They've beaten the U.S. twice. And if Aaron Baines is ever the keystone to anything, then you're in trouble. Luckily, I think Australia has Joe Ingles and Patty Mills and my guy Matisse Thybulle from the Sixers. I feel good about being anti-patriotic under these circumstances.
That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Max Scherzer, warrior god, is ready to take the mound for the Dodgers tonight.
And if you've ever wondered why Lions coach Dan Campbell is so high energy, we may have an answer.
So you really do like Australia in this? Because I really do like the United States.
Oh, I mean, Matisse Thybulle, Tony, I don't think he can shut down Kevin Durant day-to-day in the NBA. But in this game, I think he slows him down better than anybody else in the Olympic field. So.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 72nd birthday, John Riggins, the Hall of Fame running back for the Washington football team and the owner of the single greatest moment in franchise history, the 43-yard, 4th-and-1 touchdown run that won Super Bowl XVII over Miami. Riggins was the Kansas High School sprint champion and an All-American at KU. He was the first-round pick of the New York Jets in 1971 and left for Washington in 1976 as a free agent. After a salary dispute in 1980, Riggins sat out the entire season, only to return the next year saying, and I'm quoting, "I'm bored, I'm broke, and I'm back." He gained notoriety at a big Washington dinner in 1985 when he told his table mate, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and again I'm quoting, "Loosen up, Sandy baby, you're too tight," then promptly fell asleep on the floor. On a personal note, I love John Riggins. He's smart, he's funny, he dances to his own steps. Wilbon and I used to host a charity golf tournament in Washington, and Riggins drove the beer cart for us.
Yeah, this might be a terrible use of a time machine if I gain access to one, Tony, but I want to go to that golf tournament, and I want to go to that dinner, because apparently, I was looking this up earlier, He didn't just fall asleep, like, on the floor. He fell asleep for 45 minutes and then snored through a speech, I believe, by President George Bush. So, a legend. Yes. A legend, Riggo.
Yes. Oh, Riggo's tremendous. Happy anniversary, Joel Youngblood. On this day, 39 years ago, the utility man and career 265 hitter became the only player in Major League history to play for and get hits for two different teams in two different cities on the same day. Playing center field for the Mets, Youngblood drove in two runs in a day game at Wrigley. Then in mid-game, he found out he'd been traded to the Expos, who were playing that night in Philadelphia. Youngblood left Wrigley to go to O'Hare, doubled back because he forgot his glove at the ballpark, but made the 6:05 flight to Philadelphia. That night at the Vet, Youngblood got a single from Montreal. Youngblood played 14 seasons for five different teams. He was an all-star once, but he never did anything this historic. And by the way, the pitchers Youngblood got those hits off were future Hall of Famers Ferguson Jenkins and Steve Carlton.
Man, so that guy, Joel Youngblood, absolutely on the medal stand of Youngbloods alongside Jack Youngblood, who played, I believe, with a broken leg in the Super Bowl and even more impressively in the Pro Bowl in 1980. And also that Dean Youngblood guy from that movie with Rob Lowe that came out when I was 1 year old. I think both of those are also on.
And also Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods, great rock and roll group. Happy trails to the world record in the 400 meter hurdles. Again, the other day it was the men's record, today it's the women's. Sydney McLaughlin edged Dalila Muhammad. Both Americans broke the world record, just as Carsten Warholm and Rye Benjamin had done on the same track the day before. McLaughlin ran 51.46 seconds, breaking her own world record of 51.9. And Muhammad ran 51.58. They're the only women to ever go under 52 seconds. These two have been rivals and have been trading the record and wins for 2 years now. And they will race again in the World Championships next July. Femke Bol of the Netherlands finished third in 52.03, which would have set the world record just a few weeks ago. This is McLaughlin's first gold medal. She's 21. Muhammad won gold in Rio. She's 31. And now, Pablo, I suppose you want to undercut these records as you did yesterday talking about their shoes and the fast track.
You know, I appreciate you undercutting my undercutting, but I do want to talk about this because five of the eight top finishers, Tony, all set personal bests. The track is bouncy. The track designer says it. It's bouncy. The shoes, also bouncy.
I'm bouncy. I'm bouncing into the big finish. Lions coach Dan Campbell said he starts the day with two 20-ounce coffees with two shots of espresso in each. Are you impressed?
Morbidly impressed. Also keep in mind, caffeine is a laxative, so enjoy that mental image. Meanwhile, Miguel Cabrera hit his 498th home run. Is that a big deal?
It's a big deal, but it's not as big a deal as when he hits number 500 and he joins 27 people in Major League history who have 500 or more. The Red Sox have lost five in a row. Is there cause for concern?
There should be, because delusional Yankee fans, myself included, point out five back the Yankees are of the Red Sox. Meanwhile, the Dodgers reportedly signing Cole Hamels. Is that significant?
Cole Hamels has pitched exactly 3 1/3 innings in the major leagues since 2019. No, the big deal is Scherzer. Scherzer goes tonight. He's the guy who's going to take him to the World Series. Last one, Shohei Ohtani's on the mound tonight against the Rangers. What are your expectations?
They are high. He has a 3.04 ERA. He's 5-1. We talk about the home runs, as we should all the time. But, oh, yeah, the guy is also insane as a pitcher. High expectations.
Out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. Please check out ESPN Daily on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, here's a show that we call Sports Center.
Good for you to do that podcast. I admire that. Podcasters should stay together. Tracy Callahan, thank you. They're blue. Flower.